3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill with you. Thanks for being here once again. Well, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot that went down over the weekend as the A's take 2 of 3. Brilliant start as the Mariners take game one on Friday, but Oakland comes back and wins on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have a recap of the weekend, quick recap of the weekend coming up. We'll hear from Lloyd McClendon, his recap of the weekend as well. We're also, it's Monday, so bullpen banter, that will lift your spirits. We'll have a playoff chase breakdown from Mike Blowers, and also I have a question to answer about hope for this week. And I think I have a good answer, so we'll talk about that coming up as well. So all of that on the podcast, and what is, heading down the stretch. I mean, we are coming down to it. Just a couple weeks left, Mariners on the road. Can you believe just 3 home games left? Vital baseball left to be played. We'll go through the standings, too, and take a quick look at that. But let's dive into the weekend. And it was such a great start on Friday as James Paxton was on the hill, and he was very, very good.
The line, the pitch, swing and a miss, dropped there by Zunino, picks it up in front of home, steps in front of the circle, tosses down to first base. James Paxton strikes out his 8th batter of the ballgame through 6 innings, and he strands Billy Burns to tie and run in scoring position.
James Paxton, very good in that ball game, and the Mariners playing some long ball.
The 1-0 to Morrison. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Down the line, stay fair. Goodbye, baseball. Just inside the foul pole. Down the right field line, Logan Morrison with his 8th home run of the season. And it gives the Mariners the lead. It's the Mariners 3 and the Athletics 2.
And the Mariners would tack on one more and then hand it over to Fernando Rodney.
The 2-2 to Donaldson. Swing and a miss. Strike 3 with a fastball, and this ball game is over. The Mariners hang on and they win it. A final score of 4-2. Fernando Rodney picks up his 45th save of the season. And that ties the Mariners franchise record. Kazuhiro Sasaki had 45 saves back in 2001, and the Mariners grab game one of the 3-game series against the Oakland Athletics.
Ties the Mariners' record there. Very impressive. 45 saves on the season. Ties Kazuhiro Sasaki. Mariners win game one 4-2. And you had to love it with Felix Hernandez pitching the next day, a sellout. The atmosphere was sensational. It was electric. Of course, the A's pitching Sonny Gray as well. And the two aces just went toe-to-toe. It was really an unbelievable look in the stadium. And then James Jones, he just electrified things in the third inning.
Gray into the wind. Here's the 1-0. Swung on and slugged high and deep towards center field. Crisp, he's got a long ways to go. Trying to track it down. He's not going to get there. It's off the wall in center field. Jones is flying. He sprouts wings on his way to 3. Belly flops head first to the bag. He's got a leadoff triple. James Jones crushed it to center field. And with those wheels, he was flying. His feet not touching the ground all the way around. A leadoff triple here, and the Mariners in business with nobody out here in the third inning.
And Jones would get driven in by Chris Taylor. The Mariners were on the board first, but the A's strike back. Donaldson whacking a home run against Felix Hernandez. Felix very good. He just gave up a couple of runs in 7 innings. Then Robinson Cano stepping up with a big-time long ball in the 7th inning.
That 1-0 is swung on and slugged high and deep to right field. This one has a chance. It is way gone. Robinson Cano, one swing of the bat, has tied up the score. 2nd game in a row for Robinson Cano. Emphatically slapping the hand of Rich Dunley on his way by third base. He slaps his hands together at home plate. He pumps his fist. He loves it. This crowd is nuts. They're on their feet.
And it was. It was up for grabs as he whacked that home run and the Mariners tied the score. It would go to extra innings, high drama. It was a great ball game, but the finish, not what Mariner fans wanted. Fernando Rodney was not sharp with his control, walked in the go-ahead run. The A's take the lead in the 10th, and they win the ball game to even the series at one apiece. And then the Sunday affair, Sam Fuld set the tone early.
The next offer on the way, swing and a well-hit ball into right field. Backing up D'Onofrio to the one. He tracked to the wall, leaps up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Little Sam Fuld with his fourth home run of the season. Chris D'Onofrio back to the wall trying to time that leap, but it gets out of here into the front row. And just like that, the Athletics have an early 1-0 lead.
Second batter of the ball game, Mariners with all kinds of opportunities. They go 0-13 with runners in scoring position, and that was it. Oakland takes game 3, 4-0, and they win the series. Lloyd McClendon summing it up.
We lost 2 out of 3. We're not happy, but get on the plane and go to Anaheim and try to take 3 out of 4, you know. Listen, I've always said this, and I think it bears out. You know, when you start making too much of a series, you get bit in the next one, you know. For me, the biggest series is the one before and the one after, you know, not that one. So we played well. Obviously, we wanted to take 2 out of 3, and it didn't happen. We had opportunities to do that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, they did. They did not happen as they lose 2 of 3 to the Oakland A's. And I had an interesting question from often contributor Abby Sports Fan at Abby Sports Fan. Oh, good stuff all the time. Asked the question: give me some hope that the M's are still in this. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of hope. Obviously, a disappointing homestand, a disappointing series, dropping 2 of 3. But I mean, step back for a moment after the disappointment, and yes, this is going to be a tough road trip, but you look at the standings, and right now, Mariners 2.5 back of the A's. It was a big swing game. I mean, if they win, you know, they're half game back of Oakland, they lose, they're 2.5 back of Oakland. But I think the Kansas City Royals are a team to watch. Mariners just 1 game back of the Royals, 81-67 on the season. Royals 4-6 in their past 10 ball games. They have struggled. They've had some injury questions. They haven't played great baseball. And the Mariners right there, just 1 game behind KC. Here's the other thing to consider that's hanging over Kansas City as we speak. They right now are trailing in a suspended game, 4-2 in extra innings to Cleveland, that will be made up or finished September 22nd. So when you think about Kansas City and the Mariners being 1 game back, in all likelihood, they're actually a half game back. So, I mean, just that on the surface should give you hope. I mean, that, you know, disappointing series clearly, but yeah, I'd say there's a ton of hope. I mean, half game back of KC, if you would have said this at the beginning of the year, this would be the scenario. As we head to mid-September, I think just about any Mariners fan would have taken that in a heartbeat. And here they are, a chance to finish this off and get into the postseason. Now, it's not going to be easy because this schedule is going to be rugged. 11-game road trip, and we'll concentrate on the first part here because it starts tonight. No more off days the rest of the way. 7:05 first pitch tonight, 6 o'clock for the pregame show. 4 games against the red-hot Angels. This is an outstanding pitching matchup on hand. Hisashi Iwakuma, 14-7, 3.11 ERA against Matt Shoemaker, who has been unbelievable. 15-4, 3.16 ERA. Elias is going to pitch on Tuesday, and then James Paxton on Wednesday against C.J. Wilson, battle of lefties. And then Felix will go on Thursday against veteran Jared Weaver. They've squared off a time or two down through the years. So this a monster series now for the Mariners as they try and overtake the Kansas City Royals. Now, the Royals are going to Chicago. So Mariner fans, you were cheering for the White Sox when they were playing the A's last series. We'll get used to cheering for the White Sox again. It's going to be Danks. This isn't a great matchup, though, for the M's. Danks taking on big game James Shields, best pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. So not a great matchup in terms of how it looks for the Mariners. Now, Duffy is scheduled to pitch on Tuesday against the White Sox. He hasn't pitched in a while. His last time out, he threw one pitch. Bassett going to go for Chicago. Pitched pretty well against Oakland last time out. And then this is a great matchup, and this is great news for Mariner fans. Chris Sale going to go for the White Sox against the Royals on Wednesday. Ventura is going to go for Kansas City. Of course, he can really bring the gas. Kansas City, no game on Thursday, and then a weekend series against the Tigers. So Detroit and Kansas City will play three over the weekend. Then Kansas City goes to Cleveland, at Cleveland for three, and then they finish up against the White Sox for four games. And just the way, if you looked at the rotations and how it worked out, Chris Sale would be on turn to pitch the final game of the season, White Sox against the Royals. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just putting it out there because it could matter. And, of course, the 22nd, the first three games set against Cleveland, they're going to finish the game previous before starting the other one. So that's a big swing day as well. I mean, it could be two either way. It could be a split, but that's a day to watch. So the Mariners just a half game back of the Kansas City Royals. So get used to watching closely what the Royals are doing. And by no means are the M's too far behind Oakland, just 2.5 games. But the Royals, one to watch as we move forward here, certainly. Just one game back of KC. So, Mariners against the Angels tonight. Looking forward to that. 6 o'clock for the pregame show. Hope you are with us. So let's give things over now to Mike Blowers as he's going to have a playoff breakdown.
Felix on the mound. What a matchup. Sonny Gray. The game pretty much went as we thought it would be until the final outcome of it, which is unfortunate. But and the weather couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of good things about it other than the Mariners ended up taking the loss in extra innings.
Still a chance to win the series today, but over the next 5 minutes or so, we'll look forward to this road trip that we'll leave for today after this one's over with. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the most decisive road trip of the season, also the longest. This will not be an easy task.
And I think the most difficult.
Yeah.
I think you're going down to Anaheim, and you look at what they have done. They've won 10 in a row, hottest team in baseball right now. You talk about cracking the whip to get to the finish line, take care of business in the West. That's exactly what they're doing. So four games down there. It was really nice of them on Thursday that we have a 7 o'clock start so that the guys can get into Houston at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to play that night against Houston, which is always a challenge. We just saw that here. And then we move on to Toronto, which Toronto has been playing really good baseball, and they're pitching well right now. So then you come back home, and you finish up with three against Anaheim again. Hopefully Anaheim, I don't think there's any question they're going to win the West. Hopefully they have it wrapped up and maybe they let off the gas a little bit at that point. But you know what, Aaron? It's where the guys are at right now. They've come this far. This is, I think, where you really separate yourself. And I think this is something where Lloyd and his coaching staff are really going to have their work cut out for them. Because these are going to be some grind-em-out series, some tough travel. But it's where you're at right now. And you have to go out and deal with it. And I think that, you know, it starts today with one of the premier pitchers in the game with Lester on the mound. So it's not going to get easy. It never is at this point in the year. And this is what separates you. So we'll see where they're at.
But, boy, you bring up the Blue Jays pitching well. Dickey last night with 7 strong innings. For the Blue Jays, now that's 19 consecutive starts where a starter has gone at least 6 innings. That ties a franchise record. So, you know, Jose Bautista's having a nice month offensively. So the back end of that road trip is going to be really tough. The Angels, to face the Angels 7 times over the final 2 weeks of the season, of course the season ends here. And you bring up, Mike, that hopefully, well, we know that they will have wrapped it up by the time they come to town, final 3 games. Is it just human nature for them to maybe not go as hard out the final 3 games when those games to them at least are meaningless?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and it's because it'll start with Socha. He's going to get his guys ready for the postseason, so he's going to rest some guys. Some guys may play, get a couple of at-bats, take them out to try to keep them sharp. But I think also when you go through the entire season and you're at 154 to 158 games, yeah, and you've achieved the first goal, which is to win your division. I think having that little bit of letdown is only natural for that to happen. And I think that with where they're at, that's the one break that the Mariners will get here over the last 15 games. So they're really going to have to play some good baseball if they want to get into the postseason. They're certainly capable. I made the comment that they have the best pitching staff and they play the best defense, and anytime you have those two things, you have a real good opportunity. So we'll just have to wait and see. You talked about Toronto and their pitching. I believe in the month of September, they have the second lowest ERA in the American League. That's how well they've been going.
That makes sense. Angels have won 10 in a row, and they're averaging nearly 9 runs a game over those 10 straight wins.
Yeah, I saw Trout hit a couple more home runs last night.
It's easy to remember Garrett Richards is done for the year. How surprised are you that – we know the offense has been clicking, but they've been pitching well too. How surprised are you they've been able to really pick up the slack?
I thought that Richards would really hurt them. That's how good he has been. But I think probably even a bigger surprise for me is how much Houston Street has helped their bullpen. Their bullpen was really struggling. You bring him in to close games out, and it's just changed everything. Maybe, it's the same situation what the Mariners had when they brought Rodney in and what that has done for their pen. But Houston Street has made a big difference in that bullpen, and I think that's what's really helped them a lot. Anytime you're outscoring 9 runs a game, Aaron, you have a pretty good chance.
Houston Street's probably going, guys, I came here to pick up saves. You score 9 runs a game, and you're not giving me many opportunities.
You're going to hear this a lot, I think, over the next 2 weeks from the guys from the Mariners, and that is the one game at a time. Mm. That's the way you have to look at it, because if you look at the entirety of it, it's daunting. And
of the road trip, you're saying?
Of the road trip. It can be, it's a lot. So I don't think you can necessarily look at it that way. You really just have to grind them out every day. But again, with their pitching, I think that they're capable of doing it. It's just you have to go out and play the baseball that they have played the entire summer. It's just going to be difficult, that's all.
And James Paxton, of course, he pitched on Friday and pitched so well. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with the Mariners starter who has been so good. Here's Shannon with James Paxton.
Another great outing. I know that you said that it was a battle, but first things first, you kept your team in the ball game, put up a lot of zeros on the board, and the biggest thing is you got through a big struggle in the third.
Yeah, that was big. We had bases loaded there, and it was just a big out to get at that time of the game.
You said you kind of got into trouble, and this was kind of interesting because I wasn't sure if it was a command issue, but you said you were kind of going for the corners a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like I might have been trying to be a little bit too fine early in the game, trying to hit corners. But I just got to focus on getting ahead of guys and using more of the plate and just, relying on my stuff.
Using more of the plate. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, just, early in the count, just kind of hitting a larger chunk of the plate, working with halves of the plate versus trying to hit the black on the corners and falling behind guys and making it hard on myself. I can make it easier on myself by getting ahead in the count and forcing guys to then chase pitches versus going the other way around.
Now, you're a video guy. You watch a good amount of video. You watch yourself and you watch the opponents as well. Facing an opponent that you faced so close, just I believe it was 10 days earlier, how did you approach preparing for that situation?
It worked pretty well last time, just attacking those guys with the fastball. And so that was my plan this time out, to just go right after them and try to challenge them. And I think it was almost a subconscious thing, kind of being a little bit too fine on the corners early in the game. But just pretty much the same plan.
It's important to have weapons. It's important to have pitches. And pitchers spend so much time developing their second and third pitches, and they can be quite good, but when it all comes down to it, the fastball can be your best weapon.
Absolutely, especially when you can move it around and put some sink on it, some cut on it, and well-located fastball is extremely hard to hit.
Is there any difference that you're seeing in reactions to that fastball and the success that you're having with it at this level that you did at other levels?
I've definitely gotten better with my command of that pitch since the minor leagues. My misses are better. When I miss, I'm not missing to the middle of the plate. I feel like I'm missing down, or I'm missing, to a place where I'm not going to get hurt as often, which I think is big for me.
What's enabled you to do that?
I think just time and just more repetitions and getting better at repeating my delivery.
You are a video guy and you are a preparation guy. I was wondering, do you ever talk to Chris Young about that? He's big into all the preparation.
I do. I've learned a lot from Chris Young this season. Talking to him about how he goes about preparing for starts, and I've been trying to pick his brain as much as possible because he prepares better than anybody. And you know, I've asked him what he looks for in video and stuff, and how he reads the charts, and what he really keys on, and what works for him. And I've, you know, taken that and kind of formulated my own way of preparing, and it's, you know, quite similar to what he looks at. I use all that, and I feel like it's helped me a ton.
What's been the biggest piece of information that you've used that's been of most use and most helpful for you?
Just talking about how he watches video and kind of what pitches he, or what things he looks at as far as hitters and stuff, and also just how he reads the charts that we get given, and all that really helps.
How much about that do you know coming from the minor leagues? Because there is so much more information.
Yeah, you don't get
a crash course in how to decipher all this?
Not really. You just kind of have to jump right in and just practice, you know? I mean, I started doing it last year when I came up, and I was watching video, and I just started out by watching hitters and making my own notes and trying to watch guys that have similar stuff to me and what works for them and what made the hitters look uncomfortable, and just go from there.
Lastly, coming down the stretch and each game being so big and the prospect of having a postseason, what does that mean to you?
It's huge. You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun when you get all the fans out here going crazy and all the energy in the stands. And these games are just so important right now, and this team is really excited to see how far we can go here.
James, it was great to watch last night. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, it is Monday, and it's time for Bullpen Banter. Charlie Furbush, this time with his guest, Lucas Litke, fellow lefties, talking things over. Here's Charlie Furbush.
And we are back. That's right. Back with another edition of Bullpen Banter. What's up? What's up, everybody? Today, a special guest feeling good on this Saturday is Lucas Litke. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you, Bush?
I'm doing great. Another fellow lefty here on the show. Outstanding. First question that came to mind was, you're from Texas. A state that I'm not very fond of, unfortunately. But I like you. You're a good guy. Raining from Industry, Texas. Where is that located?
It's about 2 hours outside of Houston and 2 hours outside of Austin, so right in the middle.
In the middle of Texas on the map?
No, in between Austin and Houston.
Okay. All right. Do you feel like Texas should be their own country?
Sometimes, but no, I like the U.S. of A., so I'm cool.
All right. Good. So what is the number one industry in industry?
Well, you can come on down to P&M Groceries and get some good pizza and hot wings. Some say the best in town. They got the best chef in town, too, during the winter months.
And that chef would be?
Myself.
Hey. All right. Pizza and wings. And I think you have a gas station there as well?
That's what it is, P&M Grocery. We do it all. You can get your beer, your cat food, dog food, pizza, obviously, whatever you want, gas.
So are you the only, like, gas station in town? How many people are in this town?
304 people. We do have one other store in town. It's our big competition.
Are you, like, friends, or are you, like, you know, one gas price goes up a cent, you go down 2 cents? I mean, how we do this? What's the process? You guys throw eggs at each other to see you get more business or something?
We stick to our price. I mean, we go there and shop. They have different things that we don't have. There's no harsh words in between us or anything like that.
What's the name of that other grocery store?
Lindemann's.
It doesn't even sound as cool, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. And they don't have one of the best chefs in the country in the wintertime throwing a pizza in at 450 degrees. Let's talk a little bit more about baseball here, since, you know, we are baseball players. We're not just jokers here. The first guy that you faced, you were legitimately, this is real life, I'm facing this guy.
That was David Ortiz. Up until that point, I really didn't pay attention to who I was facing. But then I think it was in Boston the first time, and they announced his name, and everybody went crazy. I was like, what am I doing out here?
It's another thing we have in common. I had the same experience, man. I was like, oh, my God, this is Big Papi.
Yeah, I mean, it's just somebody I grew up watching. He's like my little brother's favorite player, so that's all he ever talked about was Big Papi. So
what happened?
I think he had a sack fly. So,
you got him out.
I got him out. They scored, but I got him out.
Yeah, that's all that matters. You got him out. I unintentionally hit him this year and caused a little drama, but happens. It's baseball. So who do you think is the weirdest guy down in the bullpen? I mean, I know we got some characters down there. Believe me, some guys that are full of nonsense, full of seriousness. Who's the number one weird guy down there?
Weirdest guy is Crazy Maurer.
Okay.
I mean, you never know what you're going to get with that guy.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, one second he's like a 5-year-old kid, and the next second he's a 40-year-old man. So yeah. You never know.
Crazy energy and then just tired. Yeah. I really thought you were going to go with Farker Beimel.
Yeah, I couldn't do that to him. You know, Beimel's no lefty.
You know, we had our daily football passes here in the stadium. If you'd seen Lucas Lickey's catches today, they were impeccable. I mean, that deep one, you went down one hand, catch it, what's up? I mean, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. All right, how many home runs did you hit in Little League?
Zero.
You didn't hit any homers in Little League? Are you kidding me?
I've only hit one home run in my life in a game.
Where? When? Off who? What pitch?
It was a fastball. I don't know off who. It was a select ball. Dead center. And no pop, man.
No pop? I mean, I saw that picture of you in high school. You were really skinny.
I was 6'3", 150 pounds, so there was nothing there.
Unbelievable. You still got some pop. I saw you taking pitchers BP. You can still get it out. I mean, I don't know if you got pop now.
I packed on some pounds, you know, so fat guys rake.
Must be all that pizza you were cooking in the off season down in industry. What do you think the most embarrassing moment on a baseball field for you is?
I was playing outfield. A line drive was coming at me. I tripped over my shoelace and fell on my face. Instead of just laying there and like admitting I did it, I still tried to jump for the ball. I looked horrible.
While laying down?
Yeah, off my knees, leaped for it.
Inside the park homer?
No, I think double or triple. Center fielder was backing up.
Okay, all right. That's cool. I've tripped on the mound. I actually tripped on the mound last night warming up. It was hilarious. And everyone was yelling, that's a balk. And I'm like, yeah, that's a balk. My bad. All right, man. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up, man. That was a good addition to Bullpen Banter here. I mean, fellow lefty Lucas Lickey coming on in, doing it right. Down raining from Industry, Texas, where pizza, gas, and everything you need at the grocery store, you can go get. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
See you later!